And of course, there is no July calendar on the back. But we do have our birthday fellowship planned in the back. So we will have cake and ice cream. And if you're like me and you can't have cake or ice cream, there'll be coffee and water and some sweet, sweet fellowship, all right? The sweetest thing you can handle is fellowship. We'll have some of that. All right, Joshua chapter 14. Verse 6, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. And it says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, that in thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. Lord, I ask you for help. You know the condition of my mind, and Lord, just the lack of focus that I have. Lord, I just pray that you help us out here. Father, help this message to be an encouragement to us. Help us, Lord, to learn. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This is the theme for our camp. I have instructed a bunch of different teachers and people giving devotions. Every night at camp, every age group is going to have their own devotion. You'll have the junior boys, junior girls, senior boys, senior girls. You'll have the young adults off doing theirs. And we'll have sermons and we'll have classes. And it's all going to revolve around Caleb's great desire for the mountain. And you have to understand, he had every right to it. God makes us precious promises. God promises us things. He says he'll give us things, and we need to be more than willing to accept them. But when we say that Caleb wanted to accept this inheritance, you have to understand that they still needed to win the mountain. That there would still be work to do. That there would still be things that needed to be done. As he sat there, he's reminding Joshua, and you got to understand how wonderful of a picture this is. It's Caleb and Joshua again. The last time, I don't say the last time, but the last time we see them talking about this is when they're standing out and they're giving the good report. There are giants, which means big farms, and there's great walled cities, which means we'll be safe. And look at the size of the produce that we can bring in. It is fertile. And all it takes is for our God to wipe these people out of here. We'll walk in, we'll kick in a few doors, and God will bless. But what was the report of the other 10? Oh, they're too big. We're grasshoppers. They'll destroy us. we can't do this. We're not strong enough. We're not big enough. We're not well enough. And of course, you and I, you already know what I'm going to say. Of course you are. But God can do anything. How many times have we limited ourselves from things that God has promised us because we've said we're too small, we're insufficient? But what God does is He reaches in. Where we are weak, that's where He is strong. That's where we see Him the most. You know, I tell you what, when you see somebody, they get up and they'll play an amazing piece of music, or they'll sing a wonderful song, or you'll read a fantastic book, and you'll see people playing to their strengths, and it's easy for you to sit there and see, well, that's something God has given them to do. And it's hard to see God in those things, because that is a talented person doing a talented thing. Now, let's go see that same person where they're weak, where God's blessing them. That's where you see God the most. How is that person who's always struggled to do something like that, how are they able to do it? That's where you see the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. God is in the things that God's in the things where we see the person instead of the Lord. He's in the things where we see the Lord instead of the person. He's in all of it the same. But when you are weak, it is easier to see Him. How old was Caleb? 40 years old, he walked in. Now, most of the Sunday school classes or the Sunday school art that you'll get nowadays shows Caleb and Joshua as very young people. They were 40. And at the age range that people had right then, 40 looked about like what 40 looks like now. Walking in the land. You see the size of those grapes? I mean, 40, that's old enough to know what it's like to have to farm a little bit. That's old enough to know what it's like to take care of animals. That's old enough and experienced enough to be able to walk around and say, you know what, this is going to be a great place for us to do this. They had a mind to them, they had wisdom to them, they were chosen for their leadership, they were chosen for their knowledge. So when they walked through, they were the right kind of person to walk through something. When we were picking out a house, my father-in-law always becomes that guy I call when I need to learn something. I love my dad, but John's been there and done that twice, three times, four times. All right, so I'll call my dad, but man, I need my father-in-law's point of view on something. Every car we've ever picked out, my father-in-law picked out for us. You know what I mean? Where I'll sit there and I'll say, I like this one. And he'll kind of look at it and let the wind blow it on a certain way. And he'll tell you how long it's been since the last time it's had an oil change. You know, just whatever magic he does. He goes, not that one. And he'll look over and he'll go, let's get the keys to this one. He'll pull the hood open and look around. This one. This is the one you want. Did that for our house. I can't tell you how many houses I brought that man through. This one? How about this one? How about this one? How about this one? No. You see over here? You're looking about this. I relied on his knowledge. These were the people walking into the promised land. Okay, that's going to be perfect. At least that's the way it should have been. For two of them, that's the way it was. For 10 of them, they lost their minds. They saw the size of these people. Do you know who the Anakims were? The Anakims were giants. They were the son of Anak. Anak was a giant. Now, we want to chase out of our head the Jack and the Beanstalk 30-foot giant. A giant in the Bible was somebody who stood about 8 to 10 foot tall. When we're talking about giants, when we look at the armor that Goliath had, when we're looking at these guys, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at somebody about 8 to 10 foot tall. And typically, if we're talking about Goliath, you're in the 9s to 10s. You're up there. You're a big guy. Just to be able to carry that sword and carry that shield and fit that armor, you is a big guy. And we've had people in recorded history who've made it to 8 foot or something like that. It's not that big of a stretch to imagine somebody that tall, that big. Although it'd be remarkable. I mean, you really think about it. Brother Charlie, can you stand up for me? Billy. Billy, can you go stand by Brother Charlie? Just real quick, buddy. Just real quick. I won't make you do anything. I just need you to be as tall as you are. That's all you got to do. It'd be about like that. You know what I mean? That's huge, isn't it? I mean, that right there is your standard everyday warrior, human-sized person, and you come up and there's some. Things happen. We see genetic anomalies. We see things like that all the time. I want to be careful. I want you to be careful. People talk about the Nephilim. And I wasted so much time studying what people today call the Nephilim. You know what they call the Nephilim? Those were the giants in Genesis 6. And what they believed was that angels came down, and we know that angels did not come down and have children with people, because God tells us on occasion or two that they don't have genders, they don't breed, they don't have reproductive organs. So no reproductive organs, no reproduction. You got that? And then, of course, they say, well, they bred a tribe and a race of people that survived up to the Anakims. There was this little thing that happened after Genesis 6. Remember that? That little thing that killed everybody but about a handful of people. Now, I know it says giant, but they weren't sitting there with their head above the water for 40 days and 40 nights of raining, and then the recession, all that years of recession. They weren't sitting there going like this. They weren't scuba diving. They died. So when we look at this, we are looking at a typical genetic anomaly. Maybe God did it. Maybe it was something that just happened through different things that were going on with the genetic code that we were doing, as there was some inbreeding going on and things like that. Who knows why they got to be that tall? But they were big. They were strong. They were mean. And you didn't want to go fight an Anakim. As a matter of fact, it's referenced a couple times. You don't stand, no one can stand in front of a son of Anak. They were big. And Caleb goes, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to lay at night in a big old 12-foot bed. That's what I want. And you know when he asked for it? He didn't ask for it in the beginning. He didn't sit there and say, in order for me to fight, they were done fighting. He had to clear this mountain, but there was nothing. He took care of everybody else. They won the inheritance of everybody else. They split the inheritance. He goes, I want this. It's a mountain. You really want a mountain? We're about to spend a week in a mountain. We're going to have very toned legs when we're done. I told Brother Art, everything is uphill except for the water slide, which is downhill. And in order to get back to the top of the water slide, you got to come back up the hill. It is, you start your day off at the lowest part of the camp where we have flagpole, and it's all uphill from there. And it's just, that's it. You really want to live on a mountain? Many of us, when we're young, we go, yes, I want to live on a mountain. And after a while, your knees start to convince you maybe someplace more flat would be a whole lot nicer. That's what he wanted. Why? Because I remember what God told me. I remember what God told me. Sitting there looking Joshua in the eye, it was you and me, man. We came back. I remember what God said. God said that when we came back, and we would come back, every place my foot touched would belong to me and my children, and I'm going to make sure I get it. There's a lot of things that are promised to you and me in the Bible. It's ours to go and get it. It's ours to go and get it. Sometimes we got to remove the trash. Sometimes we got to build things. Sometimes we got to start doing stuff we've never done before. You know, many people sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian. I ought to have a happy marriage. I'm a Christian. I ought to have a wonderful relationship with my young children. I'm a Christian. I ought to have a wonderful relationship with my adult children, with my grandchildren, with my adult grandchildren. I ought to have wonderful finances. I ought to have a wonderful this. I ought to have a wonderful that, because I'm a child of God and those things were promised to me. I ought to have wisdom. I ought to have peace and knowledge. I ought to have strength. But you know what it takes? It takes getting rid of the baloney in order to get it. You got to get rid of the sin. We got to clear out the things that should not be there. You know what else we got to do? We got to put in the work. We think about the fruit of the Spirit. You ought to have the fruit of the Spirit. Go ahead, and tonight, that's your homework before you go to bed. I want you to read through the fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to ask yourself, do I have it? Do I have that? Do I have that? You ask yourself. Now, how do you get fruit or vegetables? How do you get fruit or vegetable? It doesn't matter. You already know. You got to grow it. You got to put the seed in the ground. You got to water it. You got to take care of it. I'm so thrilled. I've been working hard on my lawn. And I tell you what, it's not great. It's not great. I still got moss. But I've learned this trick. And I did it right before a couple thunderstorms ago. And I look out and I go, wow, I've almost doubled the amount of grass that I have out there. It's taken me almost 2 years to get as far as I have, and I ain't gotten far. But I walk through, I get so happy. I tested a little on the driveway because we don't really have much of a driveway. Sprinkled some over there. I just want to see how this is going to work. I've got a small patch of grass I got to take care of. I got to get rid of it. That's how growing works. You got to get the soil right. You got to get the water right, the sunlight right. That's the way your life is. You need to get into this book and make your life right. You want peace? You got to do things that build peace. You want joy? You want long suffering? You want patience? You want the things that God says He'll give to you? You got to make sure things are right in your life in order to have it. Because He gives us the Bible. He gives us the checklist. He gives us the things we should be doing, and we sit there sometimes and we don't do those things and we wonder why things aren't going right. I got a sneaking suspicion that my corn crop's not coming in this year. You want to know why? Because I didn't plant any. I'm bummed about that. Isn't that a bummer? No corn for me. My watermelons, they're doing poorly. As a matter of fact, you'd scarce to know there were any there. You want to know why? I didn't plant any. And yet, Christian after Christian says, I don't have any peace. Have you read your Bible? Have you made effective changes over a long period of time in your life and sustained those changes in obedience to the Lord? Well, no. Okay. You're not going to have any peace. Now, the Lord's still going to give us some here or there. He's still going to be there. Why? Because He's our Father. But there's going to be sometimes we don't have peace because we keep messing it up. We keep wasting what's there. Oh my, if we want the things that God has promised us, we've got to make the changes. Caleb was glad to say, I remember the promises. Sometimes a part of getting ourselves together is remembering the promises that God has made so that we don't fall into habits like, well, that's not for me. That's not going to happen in my life. Who are you to decide what's going to happen in your life? Can I ask you a question? What specific time are you going to fall asleep? Not what time are you going to go to bed, but what specific time are you going to fall asleep tonight? Anybody know? You're going to go to bed. You're going to lie there. Some of you, you're going to conk right out. Some of you, you're going to lay there for a while. Some of you are going to toss. You're going to turn. I pray not. I hope we all, just the moment our heads hit pillows, we go to sleep, but we know better. Some of us, if you're like me, you got a racing mind. It takes a while for the bicycle brakes on my Ferrari brain to slow this thing all the way down. Not miserable, not upset, not anxious, just going. Just momentum, man. We don't know. You don't got control over what time you fall asleep. What control do you have over what God can do for you? What great wonders God can do? That's what we need. We need to trust God. We need to remember that it's Him that does the promising, Him that does the fulfilling. We just need to not mess it up. To go out and take care of the bad things that are there. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. As it was. That'll trip us up every time. When we don't see things as they are, we lose our mind. Folks, I sit there all the time. When I don't see things the way they are. Sometimes, and you ask Danielle this, I'll look at something, I'll see not only what it is, but I'll see 19 different variations of how this thing could go, and I will get lost in that. I'm sitting there right now. We've got 25 registrations that just haven't shown up that should be here already. I can't tell people how many they're going to have in their class, and I can sit there and go, I know it's going to happen. He's going to call me tomorrow, and he's going to cancel, and that's going to leave me with like 40-some-odd people coming to camp. Is that what it is? Or is that what we want it to be? Is that what it is? Or is that what we're afraid it is? Is that what it is? Or is that when some people have anxiety. I think some people have an anxiety addiction. They'll do things just to stress themselves out. I think that. We need to see things as they are. See things as they are. Well, you know what? The doctor could say this. The doctor could say that. The doctor could say this over here. I don't know what the doctor's going to say. This could be really bad. Why don't you just wait for the doctor to say what the doctor's going to say? Why don't we do that? It is what it is. I need to pray for the results of this test. Yeah, but it could be. It could be. Or it could be nothing. And how often have you sat there and panicked? How many years have you taken off of your heart's life, right? How many extra pumps have you put in there to drain your heart of juice? Because you stressed over things because you chose to see it the wrong way. They're being mean. They're not being mean. They just forgot. Did you see the look on their face? They're not being mean. Their face just looks that way. My pastor said that one time. I laughed so hard. Because we had somebody who got real upset. Every time I come into the church, so-and-so has a mean look on their face. And you just kind of sit there and you look over at them and you go, I'll be truthful, that's the face they always have. You can't choose that, can you? You know, we sit there, we'll joke around with people every now and then. Man, you look terrible. Well, I hope you didn't like me because I was pretty. Sometimes that's just the way things... We see things wrong. You know what we need? We need discernment. Discernment comes from wisdom, and wisdom comes from the Lord. He says, I said it as it was in my heart. He talks about how his brethren came back with the bad report, causing the heart of the people to melt. And poor Caleb and Joshua, having done nothing wrong, done everything right, had to wander in that wilderness for 40 years. They had to watch all their friends, relatives, and the people that were there older than them. They had to watch everybody older than them die before they could go back to the promised land. Just wrap your head around that for a second. In order for God to move you on to the next step in your life, everybody older than you had to die. Which, you know what? When you're 70, 80, 90, that's awful, but it's a one-way. If you're 40, it's a little bit steeper, isn't it? When you're 40, that's a longer time to sit there and wait and watch a larger number of people older than you go. And he sat there for that 40 years, and the Bible doesn't say, but man, if it were me, I know I'd probably be sitting there, man, this manna doesn't taste the same today. I'm getting tired of manna. We'd be eating honey and milk and grapes if you'd just shut your mouth and went into the promised land. That'd have been me. Oh, man, my feet are covered in blisters. Man, you could have been dipping those toes in some of the nicest water you've ever seen. You just shut your mouth and gone into the promised land. You know, and I would have loved, if I was one of the 12, and if I was Caleb and the other 10 would have said anything about discomfort around me, man, I would have had something nasty to say. Man, if you'd have just been a little bit more brave. What color would you say that was? Well, it's about as yellow as you, sir. How are you doing? I probably wouldn't have handled it well. We don't see Caleb being petty like that. We don't see Caleb being silly. But what we do see is Caleb waiting and Caleb remembering. You need to remember the promises God has made to you. And you need to believe that He can keep them and will keep them, yes, even to you. That's how we see ourselves, right? Oh, I believe that God will keep His promises to Glenda, to Mary, to Brother Wade. God will keep His promises to them. Me, I'm not worth it, right? You ever do that? Don't do that. He's a righteous God. He's a God who loves a fair balance. He's a God who keeps His word. And therefore, we must hold our end. We must trust in Him and hope in Him. So 40 years in the wilderness, after being 40 himself, and he says, I am now 85 years old. That's 5 years of fighting for those of you that struggle with math like I do. 5 years of fighting. That's a lot of fighting. And he fought as often as he needed to. He fought where he was supposed to. He fought and he fought. And finally it came down to it, to where he got to pick his inheritance. And he says, I want this. Give me this. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Can I ask you something? When was the last time you saw a challenge in your life? When was the last time there was something big that you needed to do? Something God has asked you to be obedient in? Something that you were afraid to do? Something you were nervous to do? Something you didn't think you could do? And you sat there and you said, even so, the Lord will be with me. That's a hard prayer to pray. Even so, the Lord will be with me. Now, Caleb is not talking about knocking on his neighbor's door and inviting him to church. He's talking about going and knocking down some big old men. He's talking about war. And who would he be leading into war? His children, his grandchildren, his friends, his kinsmen. They would be going and fighting these people. And it was no sweat off his back because God would help him. I'm nervous about my doctor's appointment. Hey, I get nervous too. Aren't you glad God's going to be there with you? I'm not sure I'm the man I ought to be able to do something so big. Yeah, I'd be scared too. Aren't you glad God's going to be there with you? Yeah, my father-in-law invited me to come up. He said, why don't you come up, help us put a new roof on the house? And I go, oh boy. He goes, and he explained to me he was going to have my friend Michael Hugan, who's a contractor, come up and do the work. And he wanted me to assist him, and I go, oh, okay. As long as I don't need my brain, I help you. He goes, all right, well, I want you to lift. I'll lift that all day as long as he's there doing this. Well, can you go grab? I will grab that for you, sir, whatever you need. All right, come over here and hold this down. All right, I need you to nail these over here. Yep, because you're there and I trust that whatever I'm going to do, because I had that confidence in a person. We need to have more confidence in God. Am I going to beat this illness? Am I going to be able to live one day without this pain? Am I going to be able to reach this challenge? Am I going to have the bravery to come forward and do what I've got to do? Am I going to be able to this? Am I going to be able to that? If you trust in God and you're in obedience to Him and what you're doing, He will help you. We don't have to think about it. Oh, we got to plan. We got to be diligent. We got to be good stewards. We got to rely on Him. We got to seek His wisdom. We got to develop a certain kind of discernment from the Lord's point of view. Absolutely. But He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. You know, I've had issues lately where I'll be working on something. I'll tell on Sister Paula. I'm sitting there, I'm doing things, I'm working things through, and I'm thinking in my head, all right, I got to go get the cake, I got to go get the ice cream, I got to go get these things. And I'm sitting there, I'm just doing things, and things are starting to add up that I needed to get done this afternoon, and just as a little bit of sweat starts to come down here, guess who calls me? Paula does. Pastor, are we having the birthday fellowship? Yeah, I forgot to mention it, I feel so bad. I'll go get it for you. Oh. Okay, I've had stuff like that happen a few times. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Hey, listen, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking I'd do this and take care of that. Oh, okay. You know, I had people ask me a few times, well, how did you take care of that? Oh, it was super easy, barely an inconvenience. We tell that joke in our house all the time. Super easy, barely an inconvenience. Why? Somebody else took care of it. Well, remember that thing you were asking me about and how to do that? Yeah. How did it happen? Oh, super easy. Barely an inconvenience. I opened it up and it just turned out to be the small little seal I had to replace. There it goes. I remember when the escape was down for a time. I couldn't figure it out. I YouTubed all the YouTube to try to find out what to do with this thing. I'm talking to my father-in-law and he's working me through things. And finally I found somebody who said, oh, what you need to do is you need to change out these two fuses. I go, that's not going to do it. I changed out two fuses. Cost me about $1. Got the car back running. Yeah, no way. Father-in-law asked me, how'd you get that fixed? You get that fixed? Yes, I did. How hard was it? Not at all. I think sometimes God makes things super easy on me because He knows I can't take care of it. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. What's that acronym for fear? Or that poem about fear? Most things that make me fear and fret are things that haven't happened yet. That gets us, doesn't it? Oh man, what if the rain rots the rhubarb? What if the creek don't rise? What if the cows don't come home? What are we going to do? I don't know, whatever the Lord wants you to do. I tell that joke about Melody. I had another person ask me, what are you going to do with her? I go, I don't know, probably whatever she wants. What if we adopted that attitude towards the Lord? Well, what are you going to do if this happens? I don't know. Whatever the Lord wants. How are you going to know? He's not going to give me any other option. He's not going to give me any other option. And I'll tell you this. Let me tell you something from my perspective. Something I've had to learn and something I'm still trying to learn. Sometimes God has to keep putting you into a position you don't like to knock that off of you. To get that stubborn out of you. I could be a stubborn person. I bet you'd be a stubborn person too. Lord, why do I keep finding myself into this pickle? It's not the way life's supposed to be. How does this keep happening? Because you don't know how to handle it. So. I used to have a boss that would do that. We used to have workers that would whine and complain about things that they had to do. You know what the boss liked to do? He kept making them do it. I go, why do you do that? He goes, because eventually they're gonna stop whining and they're gonna be a good coworker after that. I go, okay. I go, what if they don't stop whining? He goes, they're gonna be somebody else's coworker one day. And I go, okay. And I think maybe that's the way the Lord does us. Until you learn to sit there and say, the Lord will help me. You're going to get stuck in that pickle time and time again until you stop trying to fight it and you start trusting in God. Those giants were big. The cities were great. And they were fenced off well. But he had no fear, no concern, because the Lord would be with him. He says, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Lord commanded me to be a husband, a father, a pastor, a son, and a few other things. And he's given me very strict instructions on how to do those things. And just as he said, I'm going to be able to do those things. It goes the same for you. It goes the same for us all. If God tells you to do it, and he promises you he will help you to do it, it's going to go just as he said. Don't fear. Don't falter. Don't waffle back and forth. It's going to happen just as he said. We think of what so many people are afraid of. I thought I was telling a joke this morning in Sunday school, but everybody seemed really uncomfortable. I talked about how Danielle and I were talking in the car about how if I were running the Democratic Party, what I would do is now that everybody's lost complete confidence in Uncle Joe, what I would do is I'd throw in there Michelle Obama and Gretchen Whitmer. Drive this thing right into the ground. I'd chuckle. I thought, man, that's pretty clever, man. That'd be terrible. But you better believe everyone would be voting for him. Everyone would be voting for him. And just as we set the thing on fire, finally, I think that would be enough. I think those two would be enough to push us right over the edge. I think if God's not mad at us now, by then he will be. You know, just what happens if that happens? Book of Revelation is still going to go the way that it's supposed to. I mean, listen, we could put Tom Cruise as our president, and it's going to end the same way God said it's going to end. We could find the best, most skilled, most intelligent, richest, knows what to do with money, fantastic military career. We could find somebody who would be the best president on earth, and we could restore our country. We could have great revival. Revelation's still going to go the way the book of Revelation was written. Because let me tell you about it, the way things go. The way things go the way God said it would go. We're in the car. Ain't no reason for us to be in the back seat of the car going, are we there yet? Turn left. Turn right. You know who started doing that? Where'd she go? I have a little helper in the car now. Little tiny dark-haired GPS. We were coming out of an indoor playground type thing. And we went across the street, I think it was for gas or something, and she could see the thing out of the window, and it was, I'd have to turn left to get there, but I turned right instead. No! No turn that way! She's done that a handful more times. No turn that way! Yay, turn this way! But she's kind of like her mom. She doesn't say it until after the turn's passed, so I don't know what to do. I love you. Oh man, that's the way we are. No, here's what I want. Here's what I need. I need you to start inviting people to church. No, God, no, turn that way. I need you to start being a better spouse. No, no, turn that way. Me want make joke about wife giving me directions. Me don't want to be a good husband. No, turn that way. Hey, sometimes the church is going to lose people. No! No, turn that way! Sometimes we're going to gain people. No! Well, why would anybody say no? You know why people would say no. We got a sweet, sweet thing here. We don't want to upturn the apple cart. We're not an apple cart. We're a church. No, turn that way! Well, sometimes we got to turn that way. You get a bad call from the doctor. You're looking at your health. Something's happened. No, turn that way! Things are going to go the way God said. Whether I live to 80 or I live to 800, I'm going to go home when God calls me home. Right? Don't be a fool. Take care of yourself. Take your medicine. Get some exercise. Get your sleep. Do right by your body. Do be a good steward. But you're going home when God calls you home. Going home when God calls you home. We need to trust in what God has to say. As we continue on, verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. I want you to stop for a second. I want you to consider how cool it must have been for Joshua. Because they went through this thing together. They were both disappointed. I could imagine the conversations that would take place between them for 40 some odd years. Been 30 years to the day since we sought out the land. We gave our report. We're almost there. Hey, did you see the last of the original 12 died last year or last week? Yeah. That was rough. How many people are left? Ain't too many left from that generation. Sitting there. And having the heartbreak, looking over at your kids, watching your kids grow over the span of 40 years, having children of their own, those children having children, watching them wander around in the wilderness, and finally you get to sit there and look over and say, that's yours. That's yours. Because you're right, Caleb, I do remember. I remember us walking up and down this mountain. I remember sitting there just awestruck at the size of the things around here and just being amazed at the beauty of the land and the feel of the grass under our feet. I remember, that's yours, Caleb, that's yours. And you notice the word that they kept using? Inheritance. This is the part that God passed down to me. And what else do we see them talking about? And to my children. And to my children. No more rebuilding your shoes every week because you've worn them out in the wandering. No more picking up the tents. No more going from here to there. We're going to build roots. No more manna. I bet that manna tasted really good, but I'm sure it got old. And they complained, didn't they? And we're gonna have milk and honey. Yeah, they got some food over there we could have. And we're gonna grow and we're gonna plant and we're gonna farm and this is gonna be ours. The Christian life is a good life. It's a wonderful life if we obey the Lord. And that's what he did. For when he walked through that land at first, he obeyed the Lord. For those 40 years he had to wander, he obeyed the Lord. When he picked up that sword at 80 years old, I mean, you think about this. Many of you are around that age. Could you imagine picking up a sword and going off to war for about 4 to 5 years? That'd be a little daunting, wouldn't it? Caleb goes, God kept me in the same shape I've been in. I'm taking it. And you know what he did? He took it. Giants! Fortified cities! He took them! With God's help. I bet some of those people that protected them, I bet they had no idea why they were losing so easily. They're little. That's all right. The walls will keep them out. Maybe we'll feed them some bread like ducks, you know? Little guys. Before they knew it, they were gone. As a matter of fact, Anak had three sons on that series of mountains. Hebron is not just one mountain. It's a series of very large mountain-type hills. So he wasn't just taking one. He was taking a series of things and multiple different... The three sons of Anak lived on that mountain range. And guess how many of them ran? All of them. They left. They'd be slaughtered later. But they were there. The mightiest of heroes. The mightiest of villains. God can do anything in our lives. Let's be brave. And let's be obedient. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for you. Lord, the things you're willing to do for us. Father, I pray you help me to remember. You help us to remember. Lord, help us to be, as you told Joshua on many occasions, strong and of good courage. Because, Father, the strength comes from you and the courage comes from you, so we don't have an excuse. Help us, Lord, to trust and rely on you in all that we do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.